Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 265 with Jamie Kuhl to talk about Azure DevOps as our very special guest. We managed to squeeze him in literally. We'll fill that in later. A little bit of a scattered crew today. It is just myself and Cynthia. Cynthia, you want to hit some news?
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of updates on Azure DevOps that just came out regarding NuGet, NPM, Artifacts task support. So we'll put the link inside. And there's also some updates on the pipelines and the repos as well. So go ahead and take a look.
Cool. And then the other big news, and I'm not even going to try and hit all this stuff. I definitely go check out the announcements, but there's a ton of improvements to AKS. We got availability zone support. You've got some of the specialized VM stuff where you can mix and match resource types, auto patching, UDRs, network segmentation, like lots and lots of stuff for AKS. A lot of investments going in that. So lots of new features. If you're using it, check out the new features. The other big one, right, is Azure Monitors. Right, we've been working hard to make that the general platform for all of our logging, all of our monitoring, and now AKS Engine ties into that. So if you're using AKS, definitely want to check that out. So at this point, let's go ahead and introduce Jamie. Can I give us a quick intro on who you are and what you do for Microsoft?
Yeah, I'm the Director of Program Management for the Azure DevOps team, what used to be the Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services org. Director of Program Management basically means, I'm the guy that leads the team that tries to figure out what customers actually want and tries to build what customers actually want. Sometimes we do it well. Sometimes we, get some learnings along the way. That's my job. I'm based out of North Carolina, and we're a pretty distributed team. We got folks all over the place.
Yeah, well, no, great. Thanks for coming. I mean, we literally have you, you're on the road today talking to customers, I assume, and we have you squeezed into a phone booth somewhere. So thank you very much for making time for us. I'll start with the kind of the obvious question that kind of caused us to reach out to you, this big announcement of, Azure DevOps Server. And like just on its face, that's an interesting, combination of terms, right? You don't typically hear Azure and server in one word. So kind of like give us the 50,000 foot view. Like why do we have a DevOps Azure DevOps server?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. When we rebranded Visual Studio Team Services and TFS, part of that was there were a bunch of things that were involved in that. One was we were intentionally trying to kind of transform the offering, because the strength of the offering has always been kind of one integrated suite. What we wanted to offer it is kind of like a core set of services, right? Like Azure Pipelines, Azure Boards, Azure Artifacts. Each of them you can use together or you can use them separately. So there was an intentional kind of transformation of the product that we were doing. And then we decided to take that opportunity to also update the brand. And, Azure is essentially the definition of the Microsoft cloud. That's what it means. And, Microsoft is an extremely developer-focused company. So in this case, essentially what we're doing is, we're adding a new set of features, new set of capabilities to Azure in doing that, that are focused at developers, but are a part of the cloud. Now, in that world, Azure's strength is, while you think of it as a cloud, one of its strengths as a cloud is that it's a hybrid cloud, right? You can use it on-premise, you can use it in the cloud, on-premise with Azure Stack. So it has kind of a breadth appeal in a bunch of hybrid scenarios and a bunch of cases. And, it was actually a pretty big debate about whether to, rebrand TFS, because that has a, kind of a long historical name in all of this. The long historical name in all of this. But, part of our motivation in this was we wanted people to be able to have kind of like one definition, one way to think about the product, and you know, be able to say like, oh, I use Azure DevOps, or I use Azure Pipelines as part of Azure DevOps, and have that consistent name across, you know, the cloud and on premise.
Is in some ways, like what kind of comes to mind for me is Azure Stack, right? Which is taking pieces and parts of Azure, big chunks of it, and allowing you to reuse some of your knowledge, your templates, your, you know, terminology, your ways of doing business. And for customers that, for whatever various good reasons, can't do that workload in the cloud, still leverage the capabilities and whatnot. Is this kind of along that same vein?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's exactly being able to choose whether you want to run it, you know, in your own environment, you know, on premise, or whether you want to be able to run it in the cloud. Like, it's the same offering. It's just a matter of like what form and what form you want to use it in.
Great. So to your point, like pipelines, like it is the same. Like, can I literally take my project from one to the other back and forth, or?
Yeah, we have tools to help you do that. Most of the folks, the most common path is moving your project from on-premise to the cloud, you know, because a lot of our customers have started on-premise and then are kind of making that move to the cloud. But you absolutely can. It's essentially exactly the same product.
That's great.
So, Jamie, I had a question. So a lot of the customers we work with now are making the move into open source. Could you kind of talk about the integration of Azure DevOps or Azure DevOps Server with other open source solutions on orchestration or DevOps in general?
Yeah, I think when you talk about open source, you know, in this space, there's two different, you know, ways to think about it. One is just if you're doing open source development and you're using our tools, you know, what is that experience? And, you know, from that side of things, we really want to make sure that if you need a solution for your open source usage, that we've got offerings that can support it. So the best example of this is Azure Pipelines. Azure Pipelines is our CI/CD system. It has the most generous set of open source of offer in terms of any service. So like basically anybody that needs CI/CD for open source can use Azure Pipelines. It'll give you up to 10 free pipelines with unlimited minutes, which is a huge amount of compute. If you need it. So we want to make use of our tools for open source a great experience. And we've made our offer very generous, you know, so folks can do that. The other scenario is being able to use other open source tools and technologies as part of your development, you know, with our system. Another good example there is Azure Pipeline. So if you want to use really any open source technology, right? Like maybe you wanted to use Terraform or you wanted to use Helm as part of your deployment pipeline, you can do that. And it's open, extensible. You can wire in any type of technology. Our CI system supports, you know, really whether you want to use NUnit or JUnit or any other test, you know, framework in between, they all work as part of it. Even if you want to use other services. So if you wanted to use Azure repos as your source control system, but you wanted to use Jenkins for your CI system and plug those together, they work great together. So we really tried to make the overall system open and extensible as well.
That's awesome. Thank you. And also had another question that kind of just came up. So I've used the REST API for Azure DevOps before. Is that also applicable when the user is using the Azure DevOps server? Or does it kind of translate that way as well?
Yes. Yeah, so the APIs are almost exactly the same. So for the majority of the APIs, they're exactly the same. But there's a few places where they're different, where, you know, on the service, you know, there's APIs for getting lists of all of the organizations in a way that doesn't quite make sense, you know, on premise. So there's a few places there where just like the concept model doesn't line up. But like if you want to go queue a build or enumerate builds or, you know, create a work item, all of those APIs are exactly the same on premise on Azure DevOps server or in the cloud with Azure DevOps in general.
This is so fascinating to like you, Cynthia's question around the APIs. And, you know, and your point that they, you know, where it makes sense, right, they're exactly the same. And these open sources, I mean, this really references the path that we've been on as a company and organization as a whole, where, you know, I'm not sure, I guess, on the developer world, we've been a little bit more open over the years. But like the fact that, you know, these days we talk about, you know, Linux and Helm and Jenkins. We had somebody on the Azure podcast, it's, you know, probably 6 or 8 months ago, you know, talking about Helm, and we've had some Terraform folks on, right? like that mixing and merging has really opened up the ecosystem. Do you find that makes your job, you know, the Azure DevOps world's job harder to do? I mean, there's obviously a lot more complexity that comes with supporting these other things, but in some ways you're not having to reinvent the wheel if you want to leverage something, right?
So, you know, it kind of cuts both ways, you know, I would say. You know, on one hand, it does make things more complicated in that there are just a lot more types of applications out there. You know, like if you go look at our docs and you look at all the types of apps and frameworks that we have to go and support for CI and all the types of things we have to keep updated on our hosted images, it's a ever-expanding matrix. On the flip side, you know, part of the nice thing about the open source community is, you know, general things tend to coalesce. And an example of that is, you know, there's a ton of different test frameworks, but there's only a handful of test formats that they support publishing out to because they generally kind of coalesce and standardize on a set, which means when I want to build experiences on that, I only have to go build support for a handful of those, which, you know, makes life a lot easier from that side of things. The other thing that's nice now that we're getting, like, we have lots and lots of open source projects in general starting to consume us and use us for CI and CD. That makes it a lot easier to, like, track with where, you know, the community is going and as changes are coming up and kind of keep up with that because we're so kind of involved and plugged into that ecosystem in general.
Yeah, and I suspect you probably also get the benefit of, because you are leveraging the, you know, it's the same code base as the cloud. It shares all that knowledge and that information. As people are using it, leverage it, they get failures or things break, right? If we fix it in cloud, you just push it right to on-premises and vice versa, right? So you really get the benefit of that visibility into that entire cross-hybrid ecosystem world, right?
Yeah, that's right. Like everything we do in the cloud. It ships, you know, we have major releases of the work that we do for that sprint that ships every 3 weeks. We ship, you know,
every more 3 weeks. Every that's just day. Amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, every 3 or 4 months or so, we take all the changes that we've shipped to the cloud. They get rolled up and shipped on premise as in the form of the Azure DevOps server, either a major release like it's coming shortly or in kind of updates to that release.
That's amazing. I've been doing cloud support for a long, long time now. And it's still every time we talk about release cycles of like just weeks, whether it's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, like that alone is just, it just blows your mind on so many levels.
So other question, Jamie, from a program management perspective and like where Azure DevOps future is going, do you foresee kind of consolidating everyone to just use Azure DevOps, or do you kind of see more open source tools being developed and more integrations?
Oh, in this age, it's the ever expanding, you know, world of open source and new technologies as part of that. And they don't go, I mean, those two questions aren't mutually exclusive, right? You know, if I fast forward, you know, a couple of years, I'm pretty sure that a number of different, you know, technologies and mechanisms and patterns that people are going to be using for doing deployment is going to be twice what it is today. You know, like, you know, 2 years ago, you know, very few people were even really thinking about Kubernetes. Now I would say Kubernetes is, you know, the area that has the most energy in terms of how you do deployment too. So that's going to keep evolving as part of it. And, you know, from my side, obviously I built Azure DevOps. Like I want it to be amazingly successful and get more and more users as part of it. But even there, you know, in the dev services space, like we're in certain domains trying to solve certain problems, but, you know, in the developers are eating the world, software is eating the world space. Like there are so many problems and domains that need to be solved in this space that no one system is going to solve them all. And as part of that, that's why, you know, we enthusiastically try to embrace every technology that we can. Like one of the things I'm the most proud of is if you go to our marketplace for Azure DevOps and you just look at the number of integrations, I mean, there's 600-700 integrations just for our CI/CD system with other services, tools, open source as part of that. And that trend is only going to continue.
So that raises an interesting question. What, you know, you talked about how proud you are of that integration and that kind of vibrant market. You know, what's the, like, if you had to kind of identify one thing about, you know, Azure DevOps server that you go, man, I just wish, like, this is the thing that if people just knew about it, they would love it. And you just can't get it out there. Like, what is your favorite thing about it? Or maybe it's not even thing you want everybody to use, just thing you think is the coolest thing about Azure DevOps Server.
I think the thing that is the most interesting about Azure DevOps Server, as opposed to the previous incarnations of this code base, which was called TFS, is that with this release, where before you could always like take other tools and technologies and integrate them in, with Azure DevOps Server, that model is just first class, right? If you want to take Azure DevOps Server and you want to hook up the world where instead of using Azure repos, you're using GitHub or GitHub Enterprise, that's now a first class experience, right? Like to the point where you can even, you know, the user experience for that, right? If you wanted to use it with Jenkins instead of using, you know, Azure pipelines, you can hook all of that up. So the fact that that model is baked in, and the fact that the extensibility that we have is richer than ever, and the fact that the number of first class integrations that we ship out of the box is higher than it's ever been. I think that's the thing that's really the biggest fundamental pivot with Azure DevOps Server compared to its previous form.
So I think if I kind of heard you right, it's not just that you could extend it, because there's always been APIs, there's always been hooks. Yeah. It's that it's first class citizen to the product, right? It is part and parcel of the product.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Great. Well, no, Cynthia, any last questions for Jamie?
Yeah, I'm curious. So with Azure DevOps Server, do you also get out of the box private agents then? Or like, where does the builds happen?
Oh, that's a good question.
So with Azure DevOps Server, you also can install build agents. So the model for that is you would set up your Azure DevOps Server, and you could run that on your on-premise hardware. You could run it in Azure. You could run it on AWS or Google, wherever you want. And then in addition to that, you go and you install the build and release agent on whatever set of machines that you want. So you could have it on one machine, you could have it on 100 machines, depending on the size of your team. All those agents register back to your Azure DevOps Server. And then, you know, we do the work to, you know, spawn out work to those, let them do the work and report the results back to your centralized Azure DevOps Server. And again, in the same sense, like those agents can be anything from, you know, an on-premise, you know, box running underneath your desk to a container running on Azure Kubernetes service itself.
Yeah, well, no, this is great, Jamie. Thank you very much for coming on and kind of opening our mind or blowing our minds maybe about the, you know, the world of Azure DevOps Server. And, you know, we'll look for more and more integrations as y'all continue, you know, continue going, continue bringing these other tools on as first class.
Sounds great. It was fun to be here.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.